Hey everyone, Beth Weisenberger, co-founder of Handel Group and professional coach to Gary's leadership team at VaynerX. And you're about to listen to my Gary V audio experience episode. And there's one thing I want you to take away from it, whether you're 15 or 55, the language of accountability isn't about explaining, it's about owning. And whether to teach you how to have a difficult conversation or learn about kind candor, go have a listen. And if you want to learn about me and my company, just read about it in the description.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Podcast friends, how are you? Very excited about this. As all of you know, I'm not doing a whole lot of original interviews these days, kind of busy, head down, but very special guest here. In a second, I'll let Beth really introduce herself in her own words, and I'll go into a series of questions, but this has been a long one in the making that I'm excited about, and hopefully a lot of people get a lot of value out of it. So without further ado, Beth, why don't you take the floor for 3 or 4 minutes here and give everybody a little 411 on what you and your sister and organization do, a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go into some Q&A.
All right, sure. Hi, Gary. Hi, everyone listening. I'm Beth Weisenberger, co-founder with my youngest sister, Lauren Zander, of Handel Group. We built Handel Group 17 years ago, and it was our first year. Like, is there such a thing as executive life coaching? 17 years ago, we were made fun of. We were not, you know, the first question out of everyone's mouth is, are you a doctor? And we're like, yeah, no, we're not. We are executive life coaches. And we gave ourselves a year to see if we could build a company or not. And here it is 17 years later. We're the largest executive life coaching company, and we have about 70 people who work for us. And I coach C-suite executives like Gary. So yes, I am Gary V's coach. And about 22 other executives, leadership executives in his org. And then about total of about 500 people are engaged in the coaching in one way or another through Inner You or one-on-one coaching. And that is what I do for a living, is I go into companies, triple their businesses, and raise the bar of humanity and learning to human better with all the people that we coach. So that's me in a nutshell.
Prior to you and your sister going into this, let's go back to little Beth. I always like to do a little, you know, just to paint pictures for the audience. Like, what kind of girl were you growing up? Like, creative? Were you athlete? Were you student? Where did you grow up? Give us a little context. I want to do 3 minutes to the moment of you and your sis, and then we'll go into, you know, executive coaching and common themes. We have a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of executives who listen to this, so I want to spend a lot of this on common themes, and I'll go into, you know, one of the breakthroughs, no question, that I think you've been instrumental in for Vayner. But let's go a little bit further back, like
into my childhood. Yes. So yes. I was raised, so I'm 62 years old. I'm the oldest of three other siblings. My brother, Matthew, my sister, Marnie, and sister, Lauren. We were raised, as I said, Orthodox Jews in Long Island. So I'm from the Five Towns, Lawrence. None of the four children turned out Orthodox Jews. We honor spirituality, and I dig being Jewish. about as far as it goes. My father is 85, still a modern Orthodox Jew. Mother never really was. She told us the secret she was keeping for 50 years is that she never cooked. You know, you're not supposed to eat dairy and meat together. And my mother confessed to my father, oh, I always cooked with dairy and milk because it would only make it better. And all he could do was spit his food up. He laughed because, you know, what's he going to do? They're 85 years old now.
I love it.
I was an athlete. I was number one on my tennis team, volleyball, in high school, volleyball team, track meet. I did all of that. When I was older, my daughter had me start riding horses at 50 years old. So I rode for 8 years.
Awesome.
And now I water ski. My boyfriend made me get up on water skis, so I do that too.
What about from a student or entrepreneurial lens? Were you horrible?
Bad girl. Do not anyone. My lesson in life was if I could do it again, I would do it better. You know, in high school, I had to. I was punished by my parents brutally if I didn't get B pluses. Anything less than a B, no sleepovers, no phone calls, you know.
Same for me.
Right? So I was brutal.
I was punished constantly.
Oh, yeah. I was
grounded literally from fourth grade to senior year of high school. I stayed grounded.
Yeah, mine was, although I never tell the accurate story because I used to say my mother used to hit me, which she did. But my mother had five rules. The fifth rule was, if you don't follow the four, I'm going to sock you. So she warned me, right? I was the rebel. I was like, yeah, F you. I ain't listening to you. And so I, in high school, obviously, I wanted sleepovers and a phone. So I kept the promise of B plus.
By the way, for all the kids that are listening, the phone was not the mobile phone. It was having access to
the rotary. The rotary. You couldn't even get it, bring it downstairs and plug it in the basement so no one could hear you, right? And then college, I started University of Michigan and finished at NYU. I studied to be an actress, never did that.
How was Michigan? Was that a fun experience?
It was a total fun. Year and a half. I was there for a year. I did college in 3 years. So a year and a half there, loved it. It was fucking cold as goddamn hell. But I loved the football and I loved all that stuff. I got out of the small town and got far away from my parents. And then I came back to NYU and graduated there.
Is that because you wanted to do actress life and you needed to be in New York?
I was going to be an actress and daddy, I need to be at NYU, right? So, you know, spoiled brat that I was. And, you know, my poor dad, I have apologized and I would never do it this way again.
And just for my own fun, because now I'm enjoying myself here, when did you realize actress life was not, how quickly into that journey did that happen?
That I ended that at about 21. I graduated college and then I got into the whole world of humaning and transformation and wanting to save the people. And so I left acting right away.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What, talk to me about your sis, because I know this offline a little bit. Your sis came, like, was doing her thing. Like, give me,
Lauren Zander. Yeah, Lauren Zander is 11 years younger than me. She is, no kidding, the genius. She is the chairman to my vice chairman in the company. I'm running the company day to day. She is my boss, deserves to be my boss. And she invented all the method that we're teaching at VaynerMedia and all the different companies, Live Nation and insurance companies, is all my sister's method that she invented. And then I took it and figured out how to get it grounded and sold, you know, to clients, big ones.
Talk to me about, let's jump around here a little bit. So tell us, you know, she comes with this stuff. You guys sit down, you decide to start this business.
Yep.
A lot of people who listen to this also want to be in the service business, like, hey, hire me to do X, whether that's be an NFT artist right now, whether that's to be a content creator, a consultant. How did you get your first clients?
Rainmaking, baby. It's rainmaking. You know, my sister and I are rainmakers, right? So, you know, we had a method, my sister's method, right? And then we had a Rolodex. We did not believe in cold calling. We did not believe, let me go cold call all the LinkedIn connections I got. We're not that gang, right? Like you meet us, you love us, you want our method, we're getting in. And so we really were, all our relationships is who we, you know, went and spoke to. And when we got our first big corporate client, we then knew we had to deliver and we tripled his business and then it just became word of mouth. We're still in the word of mouth business in the company that we're in. I'm not going to have people cold call. I'm not that girl, right? So it's all relationship building. So I get my job done with you, Gary V, and then someone's going to recommend or hear about that. And then they want to know, can you do that for my company?
Of course.
So it's always worked like that.
So literally, again, because what I try to use this platform for is really help the people on the other side.
Okay.
You believe, 17 years of success, that when you have a quality product, if you're able to, you know, remember, you and your sis had a Rolodex to kind of tap into from your years of doing whatever you were doing in the past, you were able to kind of land, you know, in that networking of the people that you've had relations with, both of you, you were able to get one of those several dozens of people to say yes. You were able to execute, thus it created leverage for word of mouth going forward.
Yes.
What would you say to the person that's listening right now and saying, Beth, I've got the chutzpah like you, me and my sister, just like you guys, but we're both 25 and we really don't have that much of a Rolodex. And thoughts on that, just out of curiosity?
One thing that we believed that we did, right? Like what got us into MIT. So we wanted to make a difference in the whole university world, education world, help the students, help the administrators. And so one of the ways that we worked is we would go, hey, Gary, you're a professor at MIT. We knew that this professor happened to want to get married and had an awful love life. My sister said, all right, I'll coach you on my dime and get you married. You get me into MIT. And they made that deal and we got in. Same way we got into Stanford. And we teach there for credit now, right? Same way. And most of the corporations in the beginning that I got in, I would either with the president or the head of HR, your chief human resource officer, or someone accountable for marketing. I'd go, let me give you 30 minutes or an hour. You see, and then tell me if you want to bring us in. So we
stay there for a second. One thing that I hear a lot about is people demonizing free work. And you just, you know, put it on a pedestal. Curious to, you know, I'm sure you've seen this over the last 5 to 7, 10, 15 years. There's a lot of conversations like never do spec work, never do free work. It doesn't seem like, you know, I'm not on that camp.
Yeah, no, if you're 25 years old and you say you have a product that rocks and you want in my business, I'm not going to pay for it. I don't know you. You don't come with anything. So give me a trial. And then if I love it, I'm going to want it. I'm going to tell my other people about it. So we were.
And what do you say?
That's how I got some of my biggest NFL players was like, let me give you. I don't want. They all think I'm going to come for your money. No, I'm going to give you 2 free sessions. And if you like what I just gave you, then you buy. If you don't like what I gave you, what's the big deal? You got 2 free sessions. I met an NFL player. I made a difference. But guess what? Every NFL player that I ever gave 2 free coaching sessions to, my clients.
Beth, what about the people who took free sessions and didn't become clients? What do you say
God
to people?
Bless. I send them away with love. They don't either have the money. What I did, they didn't like. Who cares? That was 30 minutes out of my friggin' life, maybe an hour out of my entire life that I gave it away. I believe in, sorry, it's weird, but I believe in paying it forward. You pay it forward, it's coming back. Now, I don't pay it forward to get it back, but why wouldn't I do that? Like if I want to start if I want to build a sports division and I've never done that before, like I could say, well, it translates from business to sports. Now I know it does, but the athlete doesn't. So let me just do this for you. And that's how we started our business and it worked. And here we are.
For the individuals who have companies.
Yeah.
And have 6, 12, 22, 212 employees. Let's rattle off in this podcast themes that you see that are common. Uh-huh. I don't want to say universal because every situation is different, but there's a lot of commonalities in these things. What are some of the things that you see that are common in companies that lead to bad cultures or vulnerabilities or limited growth or da-da-da-da-da-da?
Well, I'm going to say one of yours. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So I know you gave your culture a B-. And so once, you know, we raised the bar and now it's a B-. Okay, far out. So then what's in there? And so last week I did a session with Nick and a bunch of his SVPs on removing gossip from the workplace.
Yep.
Gossip is one of the main culprits that if you do not remove it from your culture and then put in, how do you have hard conversations? So we can talk about kind candor, but you got to teach people how do you do candor, right? Like, if I'm not going to gossip and talk about, you know, go to somebody who can't do anything about it and tell you crap, right? I got to take that out, but then I got to teach you, go have the courage to go have the conversation, whether it's with Gary V, whether it's with this executive or this person. So gossip is one of the main culprits in an organization.
I love that, and I couldn't agree more. Give me a couple more, because I really want people to leave here with like, huh, that is going on in my shop. You know, talk to me about it. Actually, let me throw a couple things at you, and then you'll add. What about insecurity of upper management? When you hear that, how does that play out in your mind?
So if someone comes to me who's like, has a whole negative dialogue about the leadership, before I'm going to go anywhere near the leadership, you know, I really do believe in accountability. So what is this human? Why is this human sitting around complaining to themselves and likely other people about they're not digging on the leadership? All right, well, what the frig are you doing about it? So I would start with there being what we call a chicken and avoiding the conversations. I would then help them to stop being a chicken and script the conversation that they have to go have with leadership, right? Like, so if you've got your junior people talking trash about the leaders, it's twofold. You got junior people being chickens, not able to go speak to them. And then leaders, why do you have people so scared of you that they can't come talk to you? So it works both ways. They don't feel safe enough to go up. And then I'd have to talk to the leaders and go, what are you doing not making it safe enough for people to come to you to let you know what's not working?
Beth, from your perspective all these years, what percent, this is such an arbitrary question and you'll do your best to answer it, but I'm really just fascinated. What percentage of companies do you think are being led by fear? And what percentage of companies do you think are being led by optimism and offense and trying to eliminate fear? Just from your perspective through the years, I'm just curious all the doors that you've walked
through. You see, I think no matter in every company I've been in, and like I've told you, I loved that you had created in your culture the honey empire, right? But we had to deal with that. It was a lot of honey and not a lot of, you know, candor.
Which, to your point earlier, the big breakthrough you've done for, you know, me, which, you know, is a really important part, like this term kind candor. And to your point, now we have to operationalize it. But even in standing up and having an entire company meeting and explaining to everyone, you know, back to accountability, hey, I have very big ambitions for our culture. We've done a lot of things right by standards. One of the biggest compliments in my 23 years of operating was your assessment when you came in and said, hey, you actually have a lot of good shit going on here, you know, and our entitlement and our, you know, my inability, and this always blows my fans' minds. I always tell them, I'm like, public figure me, great at candor, because there's no human on the other side. I'm speaking into truths, right? I'm speaking on stage. Right. So Gary V brings a lot of value to people candor wise, but Gary Vaynerchuk, the CEO, really struggled, you know, and, you know, through another part of my life, I was able to realize my dad's negative vessel to delivering candor was what I was not fond of, the energy of the candor. But I had to take years to separate the vessel from the actual thing. Candor, and the way that I've tried to position it, kind candor, I think is now an essential element of our culture and is moving us up. We needed that bad. And it's really made a huge impact. But I think it's always interesting to see what commonalities and shortcomings companies have.
Yeah, let me give you another one. So another one is, and again, in your culture, and I'm starting to work on it with your executives and Will with you in our coaching session tomorrow, is that the language of accountability. So Gary V, you got a language for sure for wine, right? So like there's languages. I don't have any language for wine. I go, I like it. I don't like it is the extent of my language. The language of accountability is very important. In fact, I think that's what'll impact the empire side of your honey empire. What I mean by the language of accountability, first and foremost, is the ability to own when you're not going to keep a friggin' promise. That does not make you a bad person at all. It depends on how you own it when you just blew a promise. So if you blow a promise, I don't want to hear, oh, Gary, I didn't do what I said because, you know, this happened and then this, and they didn't return my email. And then, so there's no, like, there's just, hi, I know I said I would do that. I didn't do it. That is clearly unacceptable. Here's what I'll do about it. Here's when it will be done. And did I mess
or feeling comfortable being saying, you know, I'm a little concerned that I'm not going to be able to deliver on this.
Exactly. On Wednesday before the deliverable is due on Friday, even though I know you're hoping you will get it done and that you won't get in trouble and it won't. No one then says on Wednesday, okay, listen, I'm behind. I'm messed. This is due Friday. It's not going to happen. Here's what I'm going to do about it. Did that mess you up? Etc. So there's a language of owning when you're not going to do what you said. Even the CEO, Gary, every CEO is allowed to change their mind. You could have said,
I love changing my mind.
Right. I know you do, but you.
I do. I mean, what do you want?
I know, but you have to be able to own it rather than explain it. Because at the end of the day, no one wants to freaking hear your explanation about why you just freaking changed your mind again or not going to do what you said. They just want to be able to hear, Beth, listen, I know I told you I was going to do that. Not going to do it. Now, I know that's messing with you, but here's what I'm going to do about it. Boom, boom, boom. And then let them speak. So there's a language of accountability that's missing in most companies.
Love that. Beth, how many people end up leaving companies that were actually good jobs for them strictly because they were unable to have the proper conversation? You know, when I think about all the people that have left, you know, I get it on the receiving end. I get people that email 4 or 5 years later that regret leaving because they didn't take care of one little thing that became a big thing, you know. And by the way, I have enough self-awareness and accountability to know that if I didn't have the luxury of being a CEO and like being a business owner, my lack of wanting to have confrontation and candor would have meant that I probably would have been that kind of employee that fuck things are, it's easier for me to move on
than to address.
I think about it in a lot of parts of my life when I was, you know, it's why I broke up with girlfriends as a kid when it could have been addressed, but because I didn't want to address it.
Yeah.
When you hear me frame up that question, because I'm trying to think of, like, there's a far majority of people that are listening right now that are employees that have little micro problems. And I just think that whole framework that you and your sis have around the chicken could be stunningly impactful on. If one person listening to this podcast tomorrow sets up a meeting with their actual boss and actually delivers what's on their mind, that may save them for being able to stay in a company they actually like a lot of things of.
Yeah.
I feel that a lot of people leave a lot of companies or let a seed become cancer.
Let me address it. So it's actually, and I've done this with a bunch of your people, it's in Inner You in module 7, it's called Career Haunting.
Why don't you tell everybody how you expanded your business to not just be human, but platform?
Yeah, so let me answer this and then I'll tell you. So this is, I'm speaking about everyone, Inner You, which is our online coaching module, 12 modules. So Inner You, life, career, love, student, we have different ones. But in module 7 in the career one, it's a career haunting. Now, what's a career haunting? It's something that happened. So let's say however old you are, you've had a million experiences. And when we ask you for your career haunting, let's say you've got 5 to 10 of them. The question is, why does that haunt you and the other 999,000 experiences don't? Because the way you tell that story has a lie in it, or you didn't learn the right lesson. So, and most people, the right lesson is speak up, use your voice. Why did you let that person do that to you when you didn't say anything? And then they leave the job and you learned the wrong lesson called, hello, use your voice. Go ask your boss, why did you do that when you said you were going to do this? Like there's a conversation. And so the hauntings will keep happening to you in your life over and over until you learn the right lesson.
Beth, how, when people come to you and say, Beth, I hear you, you shoot it straight, I love this, you know, Long Island vibe, you and Gary spent, you know, if they hit you up on social or something for this, you guys spent a ton of time on shooting it straight and the candor thing, which makes sense because that was such a big framework for us. We had strengths, but this was a weakness. But fuck that, you two were wrong. I shoot it straight all the time and I'm always getting in trouble. I'm always getting fired.
Yeah.
For the person who's listening here, that
I got you.
Yeah, because I think it's going to help because I've noticed that. Let me finish this because I think you got me, but I want to make sure everybody gets it.
Okay,
for the person that hears this and says, well, this is the wrong advice. I've had a very difficult time in my career because I've been fired multiple times because the boss doesn't actually want to hear the truth. What's the common mistake for the person that finds themselves candorous? What are they missing?
You're missing empathy. You're missing the kindness side. You're missing your heart. You can't hit somebody upside the head with a brick with no heart. You'll leave them bloody. So even though your message might be accurate, if you do it with a punch, with no kindness and no empathy and no caring about the human, hi, you kind of deserve the smack, right?
Easy for people who are bosses or leaders or owners. Thoughts for the people. A lot of times I find that employees don't feel they need to do that because the machine, the bosses have the leverage. Do you, you know, I've noticed, you know, I've tried to coach and talk to a lot of, like, I'm like, look, just because, yes, you're a junior employee, bricks still make bosses bleed too. Correct? Incorrect? Yeah. What are your thoughts?
No, you can't. You'll get, it's disrespect. The boss is going to feel disrespected, right? And or that you're not loyal or whatever the pet peeve is for that boss. There's no, you don't ever want to disrespect someone. It's always, how can I let you know what isn't working for me from my heart so you can hear me, right? And then we can have a conversation. People, it's not, you know, your boss, your manager, they care about you. I know you've come up with whatever story you now believe and gathering evidence for, but you're gathering evidence and you're going to be walking right out the door. So the main principle is whatever you believe, you prove. If you believe your boss doesn't like you, you're going to keep proving it and therefore you won't go speak to them. So you don't want to get stuck with that belief because likely it's not true, even though you're gathering evidence for it.
The last 3 minutes of this podcast, I want to give you the platform. A, how can people find you? Because I know plenty will. B, what did we not touch on that you'd love to touch on?
Okay, great. Thanks, Gary.
Of course.
Everyone, you can find me at Handel Group, Beth, B-E-T-H, at Handel Group, H-A-N-D-E-L group.com. And then you can just shoot me an email or a note. You can find me on Instagram, Handel Group. You'll see all our content. And go on there because we drop content all the time that you can listen to myself or any one of my coaches and help you, whether it's in a, you know, you'll see, like today I'm going to be doing boundaries around saying yeses and nos. And then the other thing, everyone, of course, for Gary's listeners, and Gary's got about 500-ish people in this program. It's called Inner You. It's our online coaching modules, our coaching course. And for the listeners, you can get Inner You Life for half off up until March 31st. So for $325, it is a genius course. It's our whole entire coaching program. And you get one free coaching session with it. Not me, but one of my coaches. And use the coupon, Gary.
Who should they ask for on the one coaching thing? Like,
psst. No, you're not.
Okay, got it. All right. Just having a little fun.
Coupon so. Gary V, the half off.
All okay, right. You created something? So there's a Gary VEE for that?
There's a Gary V
Thank
coupon.
You.
Absolutely.
Very nice.
Yes. All right. All right. I'm coming for you tomorrow in your coaching.
I know. I'm looking forward to it. Team, everybody's listening. Look, I in another life will be able to have Beth and her sister's job. I love this shit. And I think that for me, through the years, I've been able to do a ton of this stuff insular. But there's just something so incredible with different terminology, different voices, different energies. It's like anything in life. And I think the more everybody starts to expand on that awareness, like no matter how good you have it, it's like anything else. It's good, but there's always, it's like a seesaw. There's always the other things that come along with that good. in VaynerLand over the last 20 years. It's been really good by macro comparison, but candor was an incredibly important one, and standing up the term kind candor made it even more palpable and scaled. And there's plenty of more things, but that's for an instance. So hope everybody continues on their journey. Beth, thank you so much, you and the Handel Group, for the impact you've had on our org, other orgs. And I hope this podcast leads to a couple other people getting some advancements in their journey. I know you're in Costa Rica, so go enjoy the weather. Thank you for being on. Bye, Beth. Thank you so much.
Bye, everybody.